Casey Corcoran Podcast.
That bunch of Cardinals, that bunch of Cardinals, the greatest ball team that the country ever knew. There they go, and we want the world to know. Give a cheer, shout it clear, let them know that we're all here. That bunch of Cardinals and Mr. Hornsby, we're mighty proud of you.
My parents didn't know what to do with me. They got me into Little League Baseball. I played out in right field because I stunk. But you don't know, you just show up, you know. I got my glove. You any good? I don't know, my mom told me to come out here. We'll get out in right field. Okay. Turn around, you moron. Oh, okay. Not the whole way. Oh, only some way. I never knew what was going on out in right field. All I knew is at the end of the game, I'd get a free snow cone. That's all I knew, you know? Be out there, oh, free snow cone. Free snow cone. Brian, what's the score? Free snow cone. Free snow cone at the end of the game. How many outs, Brian? Grape. I'm going to get grape or cherry. And our coach would yell from the dugout every now and then, you know, hey, guys, let's hear some chatter out there. Let's hear some chatter. What are we, rabbits? Chattering is saying, hey, batter, batter, over and over again. I don't think I ever felt like more of an idiot in my whole life. Out in the field going, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, hey, batter, batter, hey, batter, hey, batter, hey, batter, hey. What is that for the batter's benefit? Hey, batter, batter, hey, fielder, fielder. Hey, batter, 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 hey, fielder, fielder, fielder. Hey, they're communicating. And as the ball got to him, we're all supposed to lean in and go, hey, batter, batter, swing. Like, he couldn't get a hit when he yelled that. Oh! Swinging up. Did you hear what they yelled, coach? If that's fair, they should do that in all adult sports, you know? I'd like to see that out in the golf course. You know, hey, golfer, golfer! Hey, golfer, 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 putt! Putt, golfer! It's right there, putt! What the hell's the matter with you, Ralph? I'm just trying to make it fun. Why do you learn that? Are you supposed to apply that later in life? Hey, lawyer, lawyer. Hey, lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. Hey, lawyer. Sue! Sue, lawyer! I used to get scared getting up to bat. And what made it worse was the kids out on the field on the other team. I don't even know these kids. And they're all out there yelling, easy out, easy out. Everybody move in, easy out. How do you handle that when you're 9 years old? Hey, they're walking towards me. The outfielders are playing in on the clay. The infielders are going through my pockets. Easy out. Easy out. I'm like going, hey, that's my gum.
Well, you sure taught him a lesson, all right.
No, he taught us a lesson, Jimmy. That's what makes baseball the greatest game in the world. Everybody plays it all over the country. You may find a new star anywhere. In the swamps of Louisiana, the Rockies, or Brooklyn. Or he may walk right into your office the way this boy did.
We haven't got a star here yet, not by a long shot.
But the boy is a natural, Jimmy.
He don't look like a pitcher, he don't throw like a pitcher.
But he strikes them out.
Yeah, he strikes them out in practice. But the big question is, can he stand up in big-time competition? Hey, you, come in. Say, what's your name, anyway?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
A little taste of what you're going to get a week from today when we do our big home opener extravaganza on both radio And here on the podcast, it is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. It is opening day, and you are at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? Got the TV on here. The Trump people are trying to appeal to the judge right now in Fulton County, Georgia. And the graphic says, even false statements are protected under the First Amendment. Wow. If that's where you're starting from, seems to me you're at a slightly disadvantageous position. I don't know. Jon Stewart cracked me up. I didn't get a chance to watch Monday's Daily Show, where Jon Stewart hosts, until last night. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting in a chair here laughing my ass off. And the thing that cracked me up, maybe you saw it on Monday night, is he was talking about how, you know, Monday was Judgment Day. Trump was supposed to have to come up with the $464 million. And he showed a montage, a quick cut of all of the nationwide newscasters, most of them on the 24-hour news channels, going, this is it. This is it. Where's he going to get the money? He's not going to be able to do it. What's going to happen? It's Judgment Day. Everything that Donald Trump has come down to today, he's going to have to face the music. And Jon Stewart reaches down and has like one of those little cylinders that you can buy at the party stores. And he twists the thing, and all the confetti comes shooting out of this little cylinder. And of course, then they cut immediately to the story about the court knocking it down to, what was it, $175 million and giving him 10 extra days to pay it. And they cut to Jon Stewart, and he's still holding the cylinder, and now he's and he's going along the desk and picking up each piece of confetti and trying to put it back into the cylinder. I laughed my ass off. I really look forward to those Monday nights. And I really look forward to, as you do, opening day in baseball. Everything counts now. I used to really enjoy Tony La Russa's take on things. You know, he said, if you're sitting there at the end of the season and you end up missing the playoffs by one or two games, the problem may have been you didn't come shooting out of the gate in April, or as it is this year, still March. Just really come flying out and take people by surprise. Really give a hard nine and try to win as many games in the first month of the season as you can. Really, really turn it on. Press hard. The games that you play now are just as important as the games that you play in the final 2 weeks of September. Stockpile those wins now. Every team goes up and down at some point during the season, and it's like saving for a rainy day. Get those wins now. Try to rack up as many as you can in late March and through the month of April, and then you sort of pace yourself for what is a very, very long athletic season. Everybody's waiting to see Victor Scott. This guy stole something like 62 bases in the minors last year, and with the injury to Dylan Carlson, who's now on the IL, and we don't even know what's going on. All they say is he hurt his shoulder. And you wonder if it's one of those things that takes him out for the entire year, or whether it's not that big a deal, trying to get accurate information about the medical conditions of some of the Cardinal players. Sometimes it's like trying to get news out of the Kremlin. Good luck. But Victor Scott is, I think he's hitting like 272. That's enough to keep him in the show. And the whole idea, the whole concept of the stolen base has been sort of bred out of baseball in the last 10 or 15 years, which is stupid, which is like a lot of things that Major League Baseball is doing these days, where, well, I'll give you another example. And I don't care, by the way, what the arguments against this are. I don't really care, because no other sport that I'm aware of does this. Yesterday, they invited the media to Busch Stadium. They do this not every year, but a lot of years they do it. And they just call up all the radio people and all the television people, all the print people, everybody who's in media. And they say, come on down to the ballpark at noon on Wednesday. We're going to spread out all of the new food, and we're going to take you on a tour of the place and show you all the new features and attractions that we have at the ballpark this year. The food, that's one thing. Unless you're on the club level, the best food you're going to get is still not very good and not very good for you. A lot of fried, you know, greasy stuff, which, you know, as long as you don't eat it every day, it's probably no problem. But then they took them on the tour and they're like, oh, wait until you see this. And out in center field, they have an arcade. games and things that you can walk around inside of and everything like that in center field for the kids. Now, here's the problem I have with it, and you can probably read my mind. What's it cost to go to a baseball game right now if you take two kids along? So a family of four goes to a baseball game. You're talking about $600-$800, maybe more than that, $200 a ticket, unless you get some sort of deal. But at the absolute minimum, you're shelling out $400-$600 for a night at the ballpark. Don't you think it sort of should be expected that the kids watch the fucking game? Where were you for the last hour? I was at the arcade. Oh, it's fantastic. Do you know what the score is? I don't even know who's playing. How's that good for the game? And why has baseball got to be the only sport to do that? Hockey doesn't do it. Football doesn't do it. You don't want to miss anything. They have arcades in some movie theaters, but that's because a lot of times you have to wait for the movie to start. So there's some extra time. So it's like, oh, go play in the arcade, but make sure you're back here in 10 minutes when the movie starts. Or maybe after the movie, you figure, oh, we'll get something to eat and let the kids run around, play air hockey. Nothing wrong with that, but not during the movie itself. What's the message from Major League Baseball? Our game is so uninteresting that you need something else, some sort of entertainment during the game to keep yourselves occupied because the game isn't enough to hold your attention? What the fuck are you guys doing? Come to a ballpark, see the ball game. And if that's not you, fucking stay home. I was just talking about Georgia a couple of minutes ago because down there in Fulton County, they're having the hearing on the Trump case. A couple of baseball games have already been postponed because of rain. Milwaukee at the Mets and the Atlanta Braves at Philly. And I guess everybody knows Major League Baseball always schedules an open date the day after each scheduled home opener just for cases like this. Because you have a lot of the old players fly in. You have dignitaries, celebrities, a lot of special stuff. And if your opening day, your home opener gets rained out, you want to just wash all that away. So you'll wait a day, and usually by the next day, you can play ball, and then everybody's still around, and then you can execute on that. And speaking of weather, if you want to watch baseball, especially the Cardinals, watch the game today at 3, because I'm not sure they're going to play on Saturday. Open day tomorrow, and then there is a buttload of rain coming into Southern California on Saturday. All day Saturday, there's like a 90% chance of rain. Saturday night, and then again on Sunday. Now, they think it might clear out in time to get the Sunday night game in. The Cardinals and the Dodgers are the Sunday night ESPN game. That's at 6 o'clock St. Louis time, but that's still late afternoon in Los Angeles. So, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make it. That'd suck. You go all the way to California, play the Dodgers, you only get one of three games in? Speaking of Georgia, about two and a half weeks ago, I got in the car and I visited a bunch of people that I wanted to see. I wanted to get my head clear on some things that I didn't want to do it around here. And I really think clearly when I'm driving and I'm on the road. The only problem is sometimes I don't always pay attention to the posted limits. And I'm driving through some, you know, godforsaken place in the state of Georgia. And I'm talking about you're driving along and you can't see anything but road, you know, and eventually the road just disappears over the curvature of the earth, and you're just driving along, and it's like, man, I still got like 11 hours to go. And so you're just, you know, you got a little bit of highway hypnosis going on, and they nailed me. I wasn't looking, I wasn't paying attention, and I'm going 84 to 75. And they pulled me over, and I try to talk my way out of it. It doesn't work, but they write me a ticket. I'm like, well, I don't live here. What do I do with this? We'll send you a letter, and you got all the information, blah, blah, blah. The letter arrived yesterday, $272 for 9 miles over the limit. $272. Somebody going to tell me how that's legal? There's no law anywhere that says that municipalities have a certain cap and you can't go over that cap. What do they just sit around going, I don't know, speeding ticket, 300. Make it 270. 270? That's too low. All right, how about 272? Okay, that's good. What the fuck kind of conversation is that? $272! I'll stop eating your fucking peaches. That'll fix you. Richard Serra died. That name may mean nothing to you, but what was it? Early 80s? Mid 80s? When they put up the Serra sculpture in Keener Plaza. And people walked around and said, looks like a rusty piece of metal stuck in the ground. What the hell is this? That's art. Really? It looked like something somebody dumped. Big old rusty piece of steel. And by the way, don't get mad at Richard Serra because, you know, I'm sure that when he made it, he thought there was some sort of artistic quality to it. You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the person in city government in St. Louis who said, yeah, because that thing was probably, you know, upwards maybe $1 million. Talk to that man or that woman who said, yeah, yeah, we'll buy that and we'll just stick that in our downtown and let people admire it. You're like, what the fuck? Guy was 85. It was on this date in 1985 that a lot of us were at a screening of the movie The Slugger's Wife, a Neil Simon comedy starring the kid from Caddyshack, Michael O'Keefe, and co-starring Al Raboski. We had a couple of cameos in the movie. I don't know about you, but I try never to miss a Al Raboski movie. Wasn't very good. Neil Simon made a lot of great stuff. He also made a lot of junk. Back in 95, on tomorrow's date, Friday, Vanna White was at the famous bar at the Galleria. We got to hang out there. And in 96, I was in L.A. to see one of the worst movies I've ever seen, Celtic Pride. Daniel Stern, Dan Aykroyd, some people like that about the Boston Celtics basketball franchise. I don't even remember. Saturday's date, in 1985, we left for Jamaica. We had just run a contest called Jamaica Tape for the Morning Zoo. Jamaica Tape for the Morning Zoo, and people made 95-second tapes, comedy, singing, whatever. And then we picked five of the best ones and grabbed them and a significant other and took them to Jamaica for our live broadcasts. Saturday's date, 1994, I was in New York interviewing, of all people, Leonardo DiCaprio, who was just a kid back then in 94. Also, the guy who would go on to be one of the stars of Goodfellas and The Sopranos, Lorraine Bracco, was in that movie. She is a blast, by the way. Here's something from the archives.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
And now we welcome James Gandolfini. No, I'm just kidding.
Even better.
Actress Lorraine Bracco, Dr. Melfi from The Sopranos. How you doing, Lorraine?
I'm good. That was cute.
We met 100 years ago. I think it was in New York. You did a movie called The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio, who, by the way, at that time was maybe about like 19. He just looked like a punk.
Boom. You know, to me, he still is.
Really, really liked her. It was good to see her with that tremendous role in The Sopranos. And then on Sunday's date, back in 1987, after they jacked me around on a contract and I decided to skip out of KC95 and test the free agent waters, plus I had to set out a non-compete and all that, back in 1987, KC hired three people from Atlanta that didn't exactly captivate the radio market. Mitchell, McCain, and Buttery. And Rob Buttery was the guy who used to laugh like Popeye on purpose. So one of these other guys would tell this, you know, one of these lame jokes, and he would go every single time. You think Casey's got some people on the air right now that the audience isn't warming up to? You should have seen this. I think they lasted about a year. And on this date, 1998, it was the first daytime opening day. Our opening days used to be opening nights all the way up until 1997. And then in 1998, largely due to the success of the way they were doing things in Cincinnati, and of course, the DeWitts and a bunch of other people had Cincinnati connections, and they always do their opening days in the middle of the afternoon. And so they said, we're going to try that in St. Louis, and we never went back. Let's talk about Jon Stewart and hosting The Daily Show on Monday nights. He did this thing the other night. This is so funny. He's complaining about the Jews and Easter and kids.
What are we doing? We've already conceded defeat in the Christmas v. Hanukkah kerfuffle, seeing that the Christians are celebrating the birth of their Savior, and Hanukkah is acknowledging oil lasting longer than it would normally last. And to be honest with you, truth be told, there really is no gauge. I mean, how much oil was in there? Could have been 8 days worth of oil. We don't really know. I mean, it could have been a very reasonable amount of oil to burn for. It's not the point. It's not the point. The point is this. There's no contest there. Hanukkah, Christmas, no contest. But we can't afford to lose this one, too. The key is the children, people. That's what Christians have figured out. You get the children, you win. Let's check out both sides' holiday pitch. Okay, kids, Easter weekend is an observation of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So, ba-bam! A basket with candy! We got chocolate bunnies! We got candy eggs! We got chocolate bunnies who lay candy eggs filled with more chocolate. How are Christians the one that came up with plastic grass, by the way? We're the ones with hay fever. But all right, it's cool. It's cool. Jews, what do we got? Well, we're celebrating our freedom from slavery. So, ba-bam! Let my people nosh. We could have gone with a freedom-themed festival, or instead we chose to focus on the slavery part of the dinner. Hey, five-year-olds, basket filled with candy and jelly beans, or horseradish still in root form? Would you like the treats a magical bunny brought you, or a bone from a dead baby lamb? Don't worry. We used its blood to mark the door. Oh, which egg am I going to go for? The one filled with chocolate or the one filled with egg? Because it's an actual f***ing egg. Because that's what slaves ate. Taste it. Oh, wait. Before you eat it, make sure you dip it in salt water. It represents the tears of your ancestors. Oh, good, I see you're making more.
It's amazing how Jon Stewart could have been away from that show for, what was it, 7 years? And come back, and he just has not lost a step. He's as good as he's ever been. And I'm telling you, that thing where he was trying to put the confetti back in the canister that I was talking about, I was laughing my ass off like crazy. And then there were some people who were a little bit taken aback by the idea that they're going to continue with the Naked Gun series that Leslie Nielsen made so famous as Lieutenant Frank Drebin. And the announcement was made that Liam Neeson is going to be the star of the new Naked Gun movies, and he's going to play the son of Leslie Nielsen. And some people were like, what? Liam Neeson? The guy from the Taken movies is always trying to hunt down the kidnappers and threatening to just, you know, rip their bones apart? He's going to do the comedy stuff? If you didn't understand why the producers of the Naked Gun series looked towards Liam Neeson, this is from Colbert the other night. It's supposed to be an audition, actors coming in to portray the Easter Bunny.
All right, Easter Bunny auditions. First up, Liam Neeson. Whenever you're ready.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity. Easter is on his way.
This time, why don't we keep it light? Remember, it's for children and he's a bunny.
Do you understand what's happening here? He's hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity. He's coming. He's an unstoppable force. Measured. Inevitable. Eggs aren't the only thing that'll be dying tonight.
I'm sorry, is that the bunny saying that?
If you have to ask, you don't understand the bunny's mindset.
I think I do. He's a bunny bringing candy to children.
Yes, he's a bunny. But a bunny is laying eggs. He's a freak of nature, a confused, grotesque monster. There's no telling what he's capable of. But why do you think he's holding up carrot, Paul?
Because it's what he likes to eat?
No. By employing the bunny's certain set of skills, he can gnaw it down into a shiv. Slip it between people's ribs around him.
Okay. Well, that's good. Thanks for coming in. We'll give you a call.
Oh, well, call soon. I need the job, and I'm running out of relatives to be taken.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Just the fact that he would do it in the first place, even if he wasn't good at it, shows me a lot about his range as an actor. Steven Spielberg thinks Dune Part 2 is one of the most brilliant science fiction films he's ever seen. His words. He also says Timothy Chalamet riding a sandworm is one of the greatest scenes ever. There's an R-rated animation reboot of Good Times that's going to hit Netflix on April 12th. Voice cast includes J.B. Smoove, Jay Farrow from Saturday Night Live, and also Wanda Sykes. These country music people are really, really obnoxious. I mean, you know what they did to the Dixie Chicks, and they're giving Jason Isbell a hard time all about their politics. It's like, you want to do country music? you automatically have to be a conservative and you got to sing with Lee Greenwood, I love, or God bless the USA, whatever that whole thing is. And these people are not. And all the Dixie chicks said, one of them said, we're embarrassed that George W. Bush comes from Texas. Not exactly a bone-crushing indictment, but you saw what happened to them. Latest victim of this whole thing is Beyonce. Now, she grew up in Texas. Okay, she didn't do country music. She just chose to do, pop, hip-hop, R&B type stuff. I don't know, the guy from Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker, he did sort of a pop rock type thing, and they decided he wanted to do country. They were pretty easy on him. There's a lot of musicians who did not start in country that eventually, crossed over and started doing country music. And that includes Garth fucking Brooks. Garth Brooks was a failed, frustrated rock star, and he went country and hit the jackpot. Well, anyhow, that Beyonce album comes out on Friday, tomorrow for a lot of people, depending on when you're listening to this here podcast. There's a cover of Jolene, the name Dolly P appears on the poster, and there's a song called Smoke Hour that features Willie Nelson. Well, McCartney does not usually like questions like this, and to my knowledge, has never really answered one in this way. But he finally got around to saying that one of his favorite Beatles songs, the favorite Beatles song of his is Here, There, and Everywhere. And John Lennon called the Beatles photo shoot with Muhammad Ali a mistake after Ali spent the entire time dissing him. As a matter of fact, when the Beatles left the photo shoot, you've probably seen some of these pictures. There's one wall, four of them are laying on the mat, and Muhammad Ali is standing there like he just knocked all four of them out. There's one or two other pictures that are actually pretty good. And when the Beatles got up and left, Muhammad Ali reportedly said, "Who were those fags?" 47 years ago this weekend, 1977, Rocky wins Best Picture at the Oscars. Still an absolute miracle that movie ever got made, because Sylvester Stallone, who had only been in a handful of small movies and he never starred in anything, says, "Here's the script. The only caveat here is I have to play Rocky. I got to play the lead." And most movie studios said, "The fuck out of our offices. That's not how Hollywood works, dude." One studio said, "Okay." The rest, as we like to say around here, is history. That bridge disaster in Baltimore could cost insurers $4 billion. But disasters like this on a smaller scale aren't unheard of. Ships have destroyed at least 35 major bridges since 1960, including 18 here in this country. You ever walked out of a movie because it sucked? 46% of us have done it. The only time I ever did it was so Nia Vardalos, follow-up to my Big Fat Greek Wedding. It was a movie with Richard Dreyfuss called, My Life in Ruins. My Life in Ruins. I gave it about 20 minutes, and it was like, look, I'd rather go to my 80-year-old neighbor's house and let her show me her home movies from 1968 rather than sit through another minute of this. And scientists say they want people to eat more snake meat. Apparently, snake meat is good for you. Got to catch the snake first. Yeah, but they want us to eat more snake meat. Well, I mean, think about it. Look at how hot Pamela Anderson still is after she spent all those years devouring a python. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, March 28th, 2024 is in the can. We're here every Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. doing the podcast absolutely free. And if you can spread the word to all the people who used to listen to the radio show or, whatever, tell them to come aboard every Monday through Thursday at 11. Now, on Monday morning, we start something called 40 Years in 40 Days. I went on the air in May, right before the Memorial Day weekend in 1984. So I looked at the calendar and go, oh my God, I've been doing this for 40 years. So we backtimed on the calendar 40 shows, not counting Saturday and Sunday, and 40 days is Monday. So we're going into the archives, and a couple of times every morning on the morning showgram on K-Wolf 101.5 St. Louis, 101.7 West, and streaming at kwolf.com, we're going to play something from the archives, give you an opportunity to relive, in some cases, your high school days. When the U-Man and I were being silly and you were sitting in your car listening to us, this is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. 40 years in 40 days, starting Monday on K-Wolf. Have yourselves a great holiday weekend. We're on the air Sunday morning on K-Wolf with the Easter Sunday edition of JC's Roots of Rock Sunday Show, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. Get to play Jesus Christ Superstar. Get to play Yvonne Elliman. I'm drawing the line at that stupid, put your hand in the hand of the man who stole the water. Forget it. That ain't happening. Even if I have to play Jesus Is Just All Right twice by the Doobie Brothers, I'll do anything to avoid that stupid song. All right, so we'll talk to you then, and then back on the podcast and on the radio show Monday morning. Enjoy your weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
All right, Easter Bunny auditions. First up, Liam Neeson. Whenever you're ready.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity. Easter is on his way.
This time, why don't we keep it light? Remember, it's for children and he's a bunny.
Do you understand what's happening here? He's hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hoppity. He's coming. He's an unstoppable force. Measured. Inevitable. Eggs aren't the only thing that'll be dying tonight.
I'm sorry, is that the bunny saying that?
If you have to ask, you don't understand the bunny's mindset.
I think I do. He's a bunny bringing candy to children.
Yes, he's a bunny. But a bunny is laying eggs. He's a freak of nature, a confused, grotesque monster. There's no telling what he's capable of. But why do you think he's holding up carrot, Bill?
It's because it's what he likes to eat?
No. By employing the bunny's certain set of skills, he can gnaw it down into a shiv. Slip it between people's ribs over on them.
Okay. Well, That's thanks for coming in. We'll give you a call.
Oh, call soon. I need the job, and I'm running out of relatives to be taken.